Let us pray. O Lord God, open our ears to hear, open our eyes to see, and open our hearts to love. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Please be seated. God made a world. It was covered with diamonds. There were little ones, big ones, red ones, green ones, and ones without any color at all. There were all kinds of styles too. Marquis, solitaire, princess, oval, and round. And every one of them was kissed by the sun and radiated the sun's light through their unique style and size and color. They were beautiful, awe-inspiring, and wondrous in ways beyond words. God looked at that world of diamonds and said, "This is very good." But the diamonds didn't quite see themselves as God saw them. This made them compete and complain and take on all sorts of undiamondly qualities. First, they began to mistrust any diamond who wasn't styled exactly like themselves. Surely that raw one over there is certainly not as beautiful or as good as I am, thought the Marquis. Just look how I glitter in the sunlight. The solitaire overheard the Marquis and knew that the raw one was how they all started out. She knew that that raw one would make an outstanding solitaire one day. So she thought in her mind, "I'm gonna distance myself from that Marquis. She's just too judgmental." One night, hanging out in the neighborhood that included other solitaires, she told them what she had heard the Marquis say. Some of the solitaires agreed with the Marquis, and others did not. The ones who agreed with the Marquis decided to go home and hang out only with each other. Once the word got around that the solitaires were choosing to be with other solitaires only, the other diamonds started to do likewise. The reds would only hang out with the reds, regardless of style. The green princess style decided not to associate with any other green diamonds if they weren't princess. And of course, you know what happened. The entire world of diamonds got carved up into territories. Now, there was really no problem with this, except the lack of unity among the diamonds was the very thing that made them all diamonds had been lost. They forgot their common essence, their common nature, that they were made out of carbon, just another earth element. And forgetting their common nature led them to a false sense of otherness, of separation, with a subsequent desire to compete and control the other. It was quite a sad state of affairs. There had to be a way to restore this beautiful world to its original beauty, where every diamond knew its origin, its value, and its worth. And knowing its own origin, value, and worth, was perfectly willing to offer that to the other. There had to be a way where each diamond could hold their unity as diamonds, and yet celebrate their differences as their own unique, spectacular brilliance. I don't have to tell you that we live as shards of broken pieces in a very broken world. For us to say or act as if we did not would be a lie to ourselves. So when we see Jesus asking the invalid at the pool of Bethesda, "Do you want to be made well?" What should we think? On the surface, Jesus is asking a dumb question, is he not? Why else would the man be lying there if he didn't want to be healed? And yet, the man can't say yes or no. "I have no one to put me in the pool when the water stirred up," the man says. Other manuscripts and other versions say this about the pool, that every year Yahweh sends an angel to stir the waters, and they become healing waters for all those who were in any way suffering a physical disability. So imagine this man being surrounded by party-going people, all there for the festival, all enjoying themselves and making merry and having a good old time, and here he is, alone, enduring his state of inadequacy, of pain and impoverishment, outside of the community of festival goers. But Jesus spoke to the whole man. He spoke the truth of the situation, not as it appears, but as it is now in God. The man received the truth in his soul and manifested it in his body. As above, so below, as within, so without. God has a vision and a plan of wholeness and restoration for this entire creation. It starts with human beings, with us, you and me. Oh yes, heaven really will fully come to earth, but it's not a place. It is an awareness of a different way of being in the world. It's a consciousness. This way of being is in communion with the divine. And we become at one with the heart of the universe. And as we become at one with the heart of the universe, we are healed. Now, for many years, I served in medical centers as a chaplain, where I often said there is a difference between healing and being cured. One can be cured and not be healed physically. One can be cured physically and not be healed spiritually. It just means that eventually the physical will take over, because you see, what's within eventually manifests without. The divine soul of Jesus knows God's plan and sees this man as he truly is and not as he appears. Jesus speaks to the man from Jesus' knowing that is based on Jesus' connection with God. Sometimes we call this knowing intuition. If you got it, you need to pay attention to it. The words that Jesus speaks are life-giving because they are divine words. You see, out of Jesus' connection with God, the words that Jesus speaks are the words of God. The man receives the words and believes accordingly, and then acts on what he believes. His outer appearance becomes a reflection of his true inner state, which is whole and already connected with the divine oneness. This is the oneness that is at the core of all of creation, including us. In the 7th century BCE, the prophet Habakkuk lamented the gross injustices of his society. He said, "O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen, or cry to you violence and you will not save?" I cannot tell you how often I have prayed these words of Habakkuk, and not just me, but many others besides. The prophet was experiencing so much injustice and violence and hatred and greed among his own countrymen. And he coupled that with his nation's claim that they were a people of Yahweh, and he found a disconnect. Does any of this sound familiar? Is it possible that we fail to believe in the divine vision and plan for the same reason that Habakkuk did? It's hard to imagine something different. It's hard to imagine that there really is hope in the surrounding madness of life. And our lack of imagination can then hinder us from taking steps towards God's vision. We just kind of linger and languish among the broken pieces. Sometimes we don't even believe in God's vision because we're too busy with our own dreams. The thing about our own dreams is, when we close our eyes for the last time, so go our dreams, unless it's connected with something eternal, with the truth of the living God. When we are in contact with the one who resides deep within us, in the inner recesses of our souls, our dreams don't die because they're not ours. And when they do not, if we let only our dreams cause us to act, we begin to find problems and issues that we didn't even have the foresight to see. The beauty of God's vision is that we don't have to worry about the loose ends. My experience of life has shown me that God always handles the loose ends. Finally, like the invalid at the pool of Bethesda, we don't know whether or not we truly want to be healed. Listen, the man never says yes or no. He explains why he's in his current situation. He had lived that way for almost four decades. This is what has always been. This is what has always happened. This is what everybody knows to be true. This is what everybody believes. In short, not knowing the divine mind. And listen, y'all, you and me and every human being born into this world has access to the divine mind. And sometimes, most of the times, it's a passion. It's something that's in us that drives us. Some of us are very fortunate to find, to not be afraid of it, and to let it drive us into the work, the task for our life. Many of us are not. But when we connect with the divine mind, which we already have access to, we establish ourselves as gods without truth when we don't connect. Connecting means the truth that we speak is not ours. So it's not like there's human being and there's God. It's not an either or proposition. The Spirit says it is a both and. We are human in a physical reality, and we are also divine. That was what Jesus came to show us. Do you really want to be made well? Here's a trick, or something to consider. What we most give our attention to grows. So what we focus on is what grows. And we affect our reality by what we focus on. If we desire by speaking the truth, not as it appears, but as it is, in the spiritual dimension of reality. As above, so below. As within, so without. In other words, we have to learn to be in communion with God so that we can become like Jesus. We speak the reality as it already exists in the divine mystery, who is love. God invites us to see with new eyes, the way God sees. God, imagine a new life, a different life, and a whole life. Our imaginations are gifts. And trust me, everything that's been created already existed as a vision in somebody's mind, from this pulpit to this building. Anything that's been created, it started in someone's mind. What happens, I wonder, if we begin to spend 5 minutes a day visualizing the Baltimore we want to see instead of how it appears? What happens, I wonder, when enough of us do it together? When all of that energy comes full force and we visualize a new city, a new country, or a new world. Lord knows we spend as much time with the appearances as we do with anything else. And it's a choice. Our minds are our own. We get to choose where we want to place that energy. God sees the ravages of racial hatred and economic deprivation and injustice in this country. And God knows it is not God's choice. It's ours. We have to stop feeling like or somehow believing that we're powerless. We have the image of God within us. And if that ain't something to crow about and say hallelujah about, nothing is. What shall we do to see God as God sees? What about just praying and asking for the divine sight? When Habakkuk asked Yahweh, "How long, O Lord?" he finishes his lament with a response from Yahweh that was not expected. Habakkuk said this, "I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what God will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint." And then the Lord answered and said this, "Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and it does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. For it will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud," God says, "their spirit is not right in them. But the righteous, the just shall live by their faith." My brothers and sisters, let your faith, which is nothing less than your trust in the divine mystery that's at the heart of creation, who loves us and desires us all, let that guide you into a new way of seeing and perceiving God. And when that happens, you're going to see God acting up all over the world. May God show you the brilliant diamond that you truly are, and the brilliant diamonds all around you. May it be so, as above, so below. As within, so without. Amen.